And the reason one of the reasons that I'm becoming more and more impatient, especially with stealth, is that, you know, in the very near future, stealth will no longer exist. I mean, I'm not talking a year from now, I'm talking very soon. And the only time stealth will get together are for the feasts. And, I mean, there's some major, major things that are about to take place. And you each will have to fulfill your office. And fulfill it with clarity that's beyond clarity. Now, I have spent many years, and you have been delivered into and have the full counsel of God. Do you understand? This is now your only reason for existence. This is the most important job in the known universe. All other considerations with regard to your futures, your families, your own anything, has to die. You have one function, and one function only, and that is to meet the needs of others. Everything else is simply an enabling mechanism. You have unbelievably, immeasurably more than I did when we started. From a practical standpoint, I am going to disappear from your lives, except for 3 times a year. The only thing that's lacking, if any, and it's not really lacking, you're fully equipped without it, but I feel a responsibility to finish the offerings.
Does that complete the cycle, the 3-year cycle?
It completes all the things that are necessary for you. And what we'll do at some later point is we'll have some kind of a seminar deal where I'll go through the fullness of the temple, but the offerings have to be done in an arena. In a living, working out. It's not a seminar kind of function. The meaning of the temple, or the tabernacle in the wilderness, can be done in a weekend or something. But I'm going to, from everything, from your, this is the reason I've done everything there is that we've done, with Bloom becoming president, with the asset tithe, with the laying out of hands, I am going to disappear from your lives. Except for the pilgrimage feasts.
Well, you better say that again.
What?
I think you better say that again.
I said it 3 times.
I heard you.
Why?
Because frequently in me, you talk and I listen to your voice and it's a sound. And I just hear the sound and I don't hear what you're saying. And I've heard you say stuff like this before and I haven't paid any attention to it. I haven't listened to it. And I know you mean it.
I mean, you must know by now, that's the reason everything has been done the last few months. you've depended on me for the hard sayings. You can't do that anymore. You have to be the originator of the clarity, so that there's no shadow, no turning in any arena, in any part of your existence. This is, I mean, you gotta have known this. There is nothing that you lack. In fact, you have an abundance of an abundance. The only thing that is keeping anything from exploding is your rebellion. And you've depended on me not to learn anything. You've depended on me to be the searcher out of your rebellion. And I'm sure you haven't thought about it, but that's fundamentally what you've done. I mean, you understand?
Mm-hmm. I knew I should have taken notes all these years.
You don't need any notes.
Oh, I'm just teasing.
But you're going to have to start the 3 years. You've got a few months to prepare for the 3 year cycle. You're going to all start the 3 year cycle next year, no, the first of 1 year from now. So the stuff you're doing between now and then is just, you know. And then you'll have those 3.5 years, by the end of those 3.5 years, you no longer have the luxury of what we did. You have 3.5 years to prepare the saints for the work of the ministry. Those people are coming, not coming to your Bible studies to hang around and learn God stuff. They're coming to your Bible study to be prepared to do the work of the ministry. And there has to be that as the, and that there they everyone, no matter how feeble they may seem to you right now, every one of them is prepared to be either a priest or a Levite. There is no other position. They're all prepared to be priests because Levites have to be priests. I mean, what's your response?
It feels like growing up, you know, it feels like, you know, like dimension of growing up, that you take responsibility for yourself and your family.
And you begin reproducing. Now, for the most part, the people that you are ministering to now have been the people that heard me. And by the grace of God, that was entrusted to you. Those, so that you have been in stewardship. But from now on, you must conduct your life as if I didn't exist. You must have the same clarity of vision the same revenge, the same empowerment, the same never once attempting to please men, especially your own men. If you once please men, you shall not, including yourself, you shall no longer be the servant of Christ. And you haven't seen anything. If I come back in, you know, for the pilgrimage feasts in Fine Leaven.
Come back?
But from this point forward, you must conduct your lives as if I didn't exist. Which is probably a real relief. Now, there's a very important little parable. It says, "But what think ye? A certain man had two sons. And he came to the first and said, Son, go work today in my vineyard. He answered and said, I will not. But afterward he repented and went. And he came to the second son and said likewise. And he answered and said, I go. And went not. Whither of them two did the will of the father?" I mean, if you have any hesitation about what I'm saying, you better speak up. Don't smile and yes and back away.
Well, I know one thing from a totally selfish standpoint. If you go away and come back 6 months later, I'll be dead if everybody doesn't exhort me.
Yeah. Harry last night thought it was just when he thought it was safe to come to Bible study.
That's why you're going with him here.
No, it was the worst hot seat in the history of the known universe.
We heard the repercussions over on Columbia.
Was it
mine? Strong statement.
It's Harry's.
That's the same thing.
It's the Harry Larry Gary syndrome.
I heard about it. It was so distressing, the idea of this hard-headedness and being getting in those places where there's no repentance to be found, and you're just screwed.
Yeah. But you've got to all see that you choose to go to that place. There's an instant in time on which you choose to go to the hard-headedness. You choose your own rebellion. You understand?
That's true.
Now, you choose at that point, and then 6 months later you say, oh, I'm incapable of repenting. And you've forgotten the point at which you chose the state of rebellion.
That's the problem.
Well, you don't have that luxury anymore.
Well, it doesn't seem like a luxury. It seems like an automatic.
No, it's a luxury, because then God's only choice is to continually harden your heart, to make it harder yet.
Yeah, I was saying that today.
And in that hardness, the more hard it becomes, the more you will attempt repentance after the world, the more you will begin walking in like egg, walking delicately, oh, I saw something, hallelujah, the more you'll be walking on that wide pathway straight to Gehenna.
It's like if your senses aren't able to discern good from evil at all points of your walk. It's like this thing that happened to me yesterday. It was just, somehow there was a check while I was doing it, but I couldn't even pay attention to the check. You know, it was just I bowled right over it. Fortunately,
that's the lie.
That's, which is the lie?
That you couldn't pay attention to the check.
Well, that's, yeah.
Your senses have been exercised. You can discern good. And that word good from evil there is agapeo, It means you discern agape from everything else.
And you recognize it once it's out of your mouth.
That's the reason for prophesying. The only way it can gain power is by retention, and thereby you deny the Lord that bought you. And you build that dam and make it so thick and construct it so well. That's the lie of the evil one. The continuum of judging, oh, I'm a child, I cannot speak. The things that I will speak won't make any sense to anyone. That's what happened to Harry last night. Because when you judge what's coming forth from your mouth, you are along with Isaiah saying, I am a child, I cannot speak. And he says, say no longer, I am a child. You can't do that ever again, not one of you in this room. Because the Lord has touched your mouth and he's put his words in your mouth. That's, you operate from that position by faith. The instant you retain it for mind talk, that's the sin that will destroy you and all of the people around you. And you will be the unworthy steward. God has touched your mouth with the coals of the fire, with the blood on the coal, and said, from this point forward, whatsoever you think, whatsoever you speak, are my words and my thoughts. The only evil is to deny or damn the Lord that bought you. No longer do you have the right to say, I cannot speak, for I will not be understood. And how do you no longer have the right? Because I say you don't have the right. That's my job, and I'm saying it to Darlene and Tom as well as the rest of you, and Pete. You no longer have the right to second guess the response of the faces of men to your words. You understand? Can everybody in this room say amen?
Amen.
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 I told you the asset tithe was the most important point in your life up to that point. That was right. The moment you just said amen now was the most important point up to your life. Because now you will be judged by a totally and completely different standard than anyone else in the universe. Your definitions of reasonableness have just been destroyed by that last amen. Your definitions of success have just been destroyed by that last amen. You, from that point forward, no longer have the right to judge yourself or to give a holy shit what anybody else says about you. You understand? Because now, by that amen, in understanding, you have said that my thoughts are God's thoughts from this moment forward, and my words are God's words from this moment forward, without apology, without condition.
Freedom.
Now, can you consider what it means now in 2 Peter when he says that you are they that have gone the way of Balaam? If you ever deny the Lord that bought you, and you will deny him by second guessing or being concerned with your own thoughts or someone else's response to those thoughts or words. Because deny in that context means to build a dam. You got it? Can you see now why you, from this point forward, are responsible for the choice to give the land back to the enemy? Everybody say amen? What? What?
I just got to really get a hold of this. Because I don't want to be giving it back.
The instant you, the instant you mind talk.
I think it's like when George Santa said something about, go ahead, you go ahead and say it, and when it comes out, you can say, that ain't right. You can repent. If you speak, if you just withhold it for trying to, you know.
Go to First Corinthians. Go to 1 Corinthians 4. 1 Corinthians 4. Let a man so account of us. Everyone in this room, let a man so account of us as the ministers of Christ and the stewards of the mysteries of God. You're no longer a steward of any of the other stuff of this world or of Babylon. You're a steward of only what you can't be a quartermaster on the high place any longer. You can't try to gather anything to yourself. To be a steward of the mystery requires only one thing, that you give up constantly. You got it? Because stewardship, from a spiritual standpoint, is exactly opposite of the stewardship of the world. The stewardship of the world and the stewardship that's taught in the name of Christ today in the church is the stewardship of Babylon.
Yeah.
There's only one stewardship of the mystery, and that's to give it away constantly. Give what away? Watch. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Continually. But with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you. Now, you got to know that by now. Right?
Amen.
With me, it is a very small thing, smaller than a pissant, if I'm judged by you. Or judged of you, or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not mine own self. Period.
I get it.
You got it?
I got it.
Now say amen.
Amen.
Okay. It's freedom beyond freedom. Now, that's the faith that Paul exhorts and that I exhort you to copy of me. That's the only thing that's the only thing about me or anything of me that has any merit. You are fully equipped to discern, all of you, between soul and spirit, between Egypt and spirit, between Babylon. Now you are fully equipped to enter into your world to declare the spiritual reality, to throw out, to divorce totally anything of Babylon, anything of Egypt, anything of Edom, the flesh. So this Passover is a total Passover. It's the exodus from all of the things. It's an exodus from all of the kingdoms of the beast. You got it?
Got it.
Now again, that is why it is imperative that you conduct your life and conduct your Bible studies as though I didn't exist. I don't mean to sound arrogant about it, but I know you all well enough to know that you depend on me for the hard sayings. You don't have that luxury ever again. You may get it, but it'll...
You know, I don't think you've ever said... Guess I'm always wrong when I say this. The connection where Isaiah, you know, he takes the tongs, the coals, and like they did, you know, you've talked about the incense altar, but I don't remember us talking about the fact that this makes us an incense altar, as far as, you know, it's like, this is the reality of that, is this particular
scripture. Because there wasn't time for it until now.
Oh.
You get a cookie.
I talked about it last night, didn't I?
We need a patsy.
Huh?
We needed a patsy.
I need to work over a Levi.
Oh, well, Levi makes a good sacrifice.
Oh,
the despicable sport of Levi.
Rex. Rex was in mortal fear. I mean, he was just
petrified.
Ed was. I mean, it was.
Ed was when he got home. He was telling us about it.
It was like
he was shaking.
He felt like the fires were licking.
I gotta tell you, after it was all over, I'm out of the kitchen and I'm fine, and I realized that there's like a 3.5 foot diameter around me, within which Ed will not step. Ed is circling around me and he's looking out of the corner of his eye like, "What's with this fucking guy? He wouldn't come near me." Oh,
yeah.
Was this
yesterday?
Yeah.
Last night. Hey, old boy. He was freaked.
This plague stuff, I really feel thankful for the plagues right now, because it puts you on that thing where there's no response time. You know, you're so... You know, it's just, it obliterates something.
Satan's half sucker.
Yeah, you know, and then there's no time, or there's less time or whatever, to think about what you say, because you don't care.
I was seeing, as we talked about the Pharaoh, was a guy who didn't steadfastly refuse to let Israel go. He vacillated. That was the whole thing. He went, you know, and probably half the time he was fully willing for him to leave. But, I mean, as far as what he was saying.
Yeah.
But, you know, and so God had to grab his heart, you know, and
harden it
to show what Pharaoh really was, you know, and finally, you know, it was like it was revealed. Hmm. And at the very, very end, you know, and I feel like, you know, like you don't realize what Pharaoh is like in you, then God will take you to this point. You know,
I can't believe
this is the way you really are.
I've heard that 1,000 times and everything. And this is the first time I've ever felt like Pharaoh. I've never been able to personally identify that I'm Pharaoh.
That must be the theme of this year's festival. <message. laughs>
Be Pharaoh.
How many times do you have to hear?
I don't know, ask Harry.
Just one more time.
No, Harry hears it more than anyone, because he hears it every night, plus the tapes.
Yes.
That's true. Plus at dinner, probably.
Oh, yeah.
And see how well it's done for Harry.
I only be like Harry.
Oh. Yeah, repaid.
Okay.
Everybody say goodnight.
Say goodnight, everybody.
Goodnight, everybody.
Take a big guy.